For my podcast, I decided to interview my mom and her experience about crossing a cultural barrier when she moved here from Guyana when she was only 16 years old. My mom had to leave many of the things she loved in Guyana, like her friends, family, and possessions, but she was excited to see what America was like. So how are you today?
Fine, thank you, and how are you?
I'm fine. I started off by asking my mom what life was like in Guyana.
Oh, well, because I was born and raised in Guyana, it was normal to me. Everything that we did, family was always very important, so you always made sure that your family was first. The elderly people in Guyana, those who are older than you are, were always to be respected. Our culture was very focused on making sure that the people who were older, the seniors in the society, were respected and looked up to and taken care of. So I grew up in that sort of society. Very male-dominating society as well. But women were allowed to express themselves and hold high positions, but it still was very much a male-dominated society.
What was school like?
School, so it's very different than it is here in the United States in that school was to be taken seriously. So we wore uniforms to school. You were expected to go to school. You were expected to do well. You were expected to excel. You were not given, you guys have all these award ceremonies and all that. You were not given awards for success. It was expected of you to succeed. And so the most you would get is a good job, keep up the good work. But there was this big celebration didn't happen because the assumption was that's what you were supposed to do.
What were the politics like?
Well, I lived most of my younger years in Guyana, and I moved up here as a teenager. So I wasn't very involved in politics. What I will say, however, is for as long as I was there, there was one president that was in office. And he started out being a very good president. And then after several years, I guess the role of president got to his head. And so he started making policies that lots of people couldn't believe that he was implementing. But in the policies were not beneficial for Guyana. And that's part of the reason why I left Guyana, because we went from a country that allowed you lots of different freedoms to one, he wanted it to be a socialist society, free education. They canceled or got rid of all private schools, only public schools. And one thing that I know here is that competition is encouraged. And competition is encouraged because it forces those parties competing for the same attention to up their game, to do better. And so because there was no longer any competition, the emphasis was not on excellence. The part about excellence suffered. So while it started out being a great educational system, it quickly deteriorated because of the policies that were put in place.
Was that the only reason why you left?
That was the major reason. I had graduated high school at 16 and wanted to go to college. And the option for college in Guyana was not one that my parents were excited about. I would have had to go into the military for 2 years. Going to college would have been free. But in order to take advantage of the free education that was being offered, you had to serve in the military for 2 years, and so that was not acceptable.
During this time, my mother's grandparents had been traveling back and forth because of my great-grandfather's health. He was very sick and was only getting worse, eventually going blind, so my grandparents moved to the U.S. permanently. My great-grandmother needed help taking care of him, so that is another factor for why my mother left. it like when you first got to America? Like, when you first got, like, off the plane and found out, like, where you're going to go?
Well, we flew into New York, JFK, and it was just, breathtaking. It was unbelievable. I hadn't been to America before. That was my first time. And everything was so huge, and it was just very different than I'd grown up. I mean, everything just seemed so monstrous. It was big, lots of stuff everywhere. It was just very tall buildings and just beautiful, beautiful country. And so when I got here, I was just in awe of the beauty. And then driving through New York, we drove from New York to Virginia. My uncle came and met us, and was a great big caravan. We drove from there to Virginia, and I just remember going through areas of New York that were impoverished and not seeing anything like it before. So while I saw vast wealth and big buildings and lots of beautiful things, I also saw poverty that I hadn't seen before either and didn't expect to see in America. You know, you have these big thoughts about America that it's, you know, streets paved with gold. Not necessarily, but you think of it as this place where nothing goes wrong. It's just the perfect place. And then you're, you know, faced with poverty and, you know, you just couldn't imagine. So, yeah, but it was wonderful to see all that. Wow, just seemed so vast and huge and beautiful, and then compare that with what was clearly not what I was expecting, you know. I had to redo high school because even though I'd finished high school in Guyana, they had said, oh, you're just 16, we need you to go back to high school because your transcripts, they couldn't understand the transcripts. They said it didn't make sense to them. They didn't know what it meant. So the only way to resolve it in their mind was for me to go back to high school, which I dreaded. I actually hated the thought of going to high school, but because I'd already graduated, not because I thought, you know, it just felt like a step back. And so I went to high school for 2 years. And then after I graduated, the good thing about that is it helped me be acclimated to this country in a safe place. I was home with my family. I was getting to know the ins and outs. You know, I learned to drive, all that stuff while I was here. So there was a benefit to staying close to home and not going straight off to college. So there was the benefit. But at the time, I couldn't see it. I was just devastated that I would have to do high school again. You never want to do high school twice.
Okay. So tell me about your first day of school. What was your first day of school?
It was, I remember not sleeping the night before. I went to the hairdresser, I went to the hair salon, got my hair done, and I came home and put rollers in my hair, put on a scarf, went to sleep, and then woke up, and I was just so nervous that I'd sweated through my hair. So I woke up the next day to go to school, and my hair was still a mess, even though I'd gotten it done, because it was just, I was so nervous. I was sweating all night. I couldn't sleep. I was nervous. I was just, so my first day of school, I didn't look as pristine as I wanted to because my hair was messed up. And I was nervous, you know, clearly not being from this culture, I didn't know what to wear. I agonized over what to wear and, you know, what books to take to school, all of the above. It was just a very nerve-wracking day. And because up until that point, I didn't hear myself as having an accent, so I didn't know just how strong my accent was. And so first day of school, everybody stared, and every teacher wanted you to say who you were and where you were from. And I was embarrassed to speak because the class would go quiet. No one would speak when I was talking. Everything would go quiet. You know, all the kids wanted to hear. And to me, that was way much more, too much attention. I didn't want all the attention that came with being first the new student, but also the new student with an accent. So it was very nerve-wracking.
Did you make any friends on the first day?
Actually, my cousins went to the same school, so I did have the benefit of meeting them for lunch. We didn't have the same classes, but my cousin and I would meet for lunch. So that helped. I did, however, there were people who right away said, oh, you know, we want to be friends. So I did meet a few nice people who the first day wanted to befriend me and make me feel at home. So, yeah. In addition to coming to a new country, I was coming to a new climate. We didn't have snow and all that in Guyana. Sweatshirts, you know, the kids wore sweatshirts to school with hoodies and all that. I was not used to dressing like that at all. Our style of dress is a little more formal, button-down shirts, no jeans, you know, skirts mainly. Women mainly wore skirts. You may wear slacks every once in a while, but definitely not jeans. And interestingly, my English teachers would always write that my work was not wrong. So all my written assignments, they were not wrong, but they would write that they were awkward. So it clearly showed that our way of communicating was different. The assumption was because I had an accent, I must not know English, when in fact, English is my only language.
Yeah. Did anyone ever bother you about, like, your accent? Or, like, bully you about it or make jokes about it?
Actually, I didn't have anybody tease me about my accent. I had very strange questions, though. There were people who asked me if I was black, if, what would I consider myself? And then I had people, out of their ignorance, ask, did I ever wear clothes before? Did we live in trees? Questions like that.
Yeah.
Clearly were based on, you know, lack of knowledge.
What were some major differences you noticed that were different from Guyana when you first came here? Or after time, what were some big differences you noticed?
One of the big things, too, that I noticed is in Guyana, your shoes always had to be spotless. If you wore makeup, it was more subtle. So music, big in the sense that in Guyana, we listened to any kind of music. So we listened whatever it was. We just loved all different types of music. A lot of what we did was outdoors. I find here, not so much. Guyana didn't personally have television stations at the time. So we would watch maybe Trinidad News or, you know, Caribbean News. But we mainly watched BBC, British Broadcasting. So it was normal for a young man to ask your parents, could they take you out or could they, you know, go to the movies with you or whatever. It was so different than you guys say boyfriend and girlfriend here. It was so different. There was no heavy petting and groping and all of that. He was, you know, he would come over and sit with me on my veranda. You guys have front porches, we have verandas. And would sit with me on my veranda and we'd listen to music and watch the neighbors go by, look at the birds, the sky, whatever, talk. And that's we'd so ride bikes together. And so, but very, what you guys would probably think here is boring.
Big moment that stood out to you during like the whole process?
I will say that people are really the same everywhere. I was amazed, in as much as there were so many differences, I was amazed at the similarities.
Thank you for letting me interview.